I used to just go with whatever meat looked good or was on sale at the grocery store. But now that I've experienced the exceptional quality, flavor, and convenience that you can get from Omaha Steaks, I'm never going back. They can build a custom food plan based on your schedule, which means less food waste and stocking up on high-quality proteins to always have on hand. With Omaha Steaks in your freezer, you're always just minutes away from a quality dinner, whether it's Taco Tuesday or a weekend feast. Taste the Omaha Steaks difference and never settle for grocery proteins again. Get flavorful, high-quality proteins delivered by visiting omahasteaks.com, plus $35 off when you use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code YUM. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code YUM at checkout for $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
On Friday, May 26th, Podlist 6 is coming to you from the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
Hey, it's JD here, and I am fucking pumped to be filling you in on the latest Podlist.
What is a Podlist, you ask? It's a podcast playlist. In this case, it's a playlist full of Tragically Hip cover songs by our talented listeners.
Here's the deal this year. You can only choose a song that ranked from 169 to 41.
To be included in Podlist 6, you'll need to submit your WAV files either by WeTransfer or by emailing JD at tthtop40@gmail.com with Podlist in the subject line.
Are you ready to shoot your shot and become podcast famous? What are you waiting for then?
A member of the DATC media family.
Previously on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown.
The final song on the Phantom Power long play is Emperor Penguin, coming in at number 32. Mr. Workman, what did you think of this track the first time you heard it?
Well, I mean, I was just, I mean, I've got chills even thinking about it. I'm warmed by how playful, how kooky, and how impressionist the lyrics are. I'm just, I love so much about even Gord's sort of like his glib dismissal of the we've got a caller here with a bachelor degree talking alien invasion is the only chance for unity. I'm sorry to interrupt you, caller, but that's a physical impossibility. The way he it's a clip of life that we would hear if we were driving late at night and hearing the AM radio, you know, Art Bell's Coast.
Absolutely. Hey, it's JD here, and welcome to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. It's an absolute thrill to be here with you week over week, where we're going to count down the 40 essential tracks by the hip that you selected with your very own top 20 ballots. I then tabulated the results using an abacus and Wilford Brimley's broken down pancreas. How will your favorite song fare in the rankings? You'll need to tune in every week to find out. So there's that. This week I'm joined by Tragically Hip superfan, Tracy from Los Angeles. How the hell are you doing on this hip-tastic day, Tracy from LA?
I'm doing great. The heat has broken a bit here, and it's beautiful out.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's actually here in Toronto, what are we, the 27th?
24th.
No, 24th of October, and it's 20 degrees out right now here, like Celsius.
So
75.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
So got to go out for a walk and get it while I can.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right into this. Let's get right into your TTH origin story or your hipstory.
Well, it's a little late in the game. I was at before lockdown, I was at finally able to see my favorite, at the time, band in the world, Broken Social Scene. They were coming to Hollywood. And it was a great concert. It was a smallish theater, and it was just, you know, Kevin Drew is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he started talking about someone he loved who passed away. And a week or two before, I don't know, and I kind of heard the name, and he was so empathic with it, and it was touching. but I didn't put it out of my mind. And a few weeks later, or a month, or, I don't remember, the documentary was on, long time running.
Right.
And it was sort of getting towards lockdown, and I put it on, and I thought it was like a trucker documentary. I don't know what I thought, but if it's documentary, I watch it. And it was good. I mean, it was interesting to see the love for this band and from Canada. And I found it out that being such a rock and roll fanatic since I was a kid and playing music since I was a kid, I'd never heard of them. I just never heard of them. I'm from New York, so I wasn't living in Omaha, but I was, in L.A. I lived down the street from the Troubadour, so I mean, I saw everybody. But who are they? And I put it out of my mind. And then the documentary was on repeat for some reason when you're stuck in the house and can't go out because of the COVID. And it was as if every song had been in my heart forever.
I never heard them,
and it was so, I never watched the full thing, but the second time, every song they played, just the music, and I said, this band is so phenomenal, and I don't know how I could have missed them. I worked at a recording studio in the 80s in Manhattan, and I everybody was there, and I never heard of the Tragically Hip. So I made it my mission to, during lockdown, to learn everything I could and listen to every live show I could find on the internet and every record. And I just think that as a band, not just Gord, but as a band, it's my biggest regret that I'll never see them all together live. I think as a band, they were just friggin' amazing. And
my heart just sank for you when you said that. Like, I literally could feel like emotion,
It was really, and then learning about Gord after the fact and it was tragedy, but I felt it was this volume of music that I was gifted to learn and listen to for the first time at, my age, finding them and with a history. And so that was fun. I mean, it still is. I still am investigating. So
this is really cool because so far of all the people I've spoke to, you are definitely the newest hip band. So it's interesting to hear that story that even through the television, it's palpable,
TV, nothing, I know that Canadians are very proprietary with this band, and I think, and I respect that. And I love Canadian singer-songwriters and musicians all my life, but I think of them as singer-songwriters and from Canada. I don't think of that. I don't have a connection except for working up there. And I feel like part of that is the reason they never crossed. Not that they wanted to or cared to after a while, but we never got to listen to them. Most of us in rock and roll never heard of them. And maybe it's, I feel like it's like you can't say anything about them because you're not Canadian. And there is a proprietary sense about the fans. And maybe, I don't think that's right. I think they're universal. So
I can't disagree with you. I clearly I'm a big fan and yeah. I think they're universal. And I'm standing at the pulpit trying to, get that music out there even more. And it's really interesting. I think it was Rolling Stone just released an article a couple of weeks ago about the taillights being bright for the Tragically Hip.
I think it was Spin.
Was it Spin? Okay. Yeah. And it was really fascinating that, at this point in their career, they are still garnering as much interest. In fact, I'm going to a theater on November the 1st, which is next Friday, to see the guys, along with their manager, along with Mike Downey. And I think Patrick will be there. I'm not 100% certain. But you get a copy of the book.
Oh, wow.
As part of your admission ticket. And then it's like a presentation, like a Q&A thing. And this is like at a pretty prestigious theater in Toronto, the
Massey Hall. Yeah.
You probably have heard the Neil Young album, Live from Massey Hall.
Yes, I've Massey Hall and the Rheostatics.
That's
Massey
right.
Hall and, you know.
You know your Canadian music.
Well, yeah. I mean, how did I miss these guys? I don't understand. But
yeah, when you're into Broken Social Scene and you're missing, you know, Broken Social Scene and Rheostatics and these bands, and you're missing the Tragically Hip from that is mysterious.
That is mysterious.
Very mysterious.
Maybe it's just, I just don't get it. Still get it. And, you know, I think it's a credit to them that they, you know, broke into my heart, so to speak, you know.
Oh, I love
that's what they want to do. They're rock and roll, and that's that. And then, of course, there was Gord's solo stuff, getting to know that, and having not relating to a secret path, secret path, rather, because we have our own issues around things like that. But again, it was on, and I played it a second time, and the music just jumped out at me. And it was the most beautiful record. And again, it's like, what? Why aren't people listening to this here, you know?
I don't know.
And Introduce Yourself, which was heartbreaking and masterful. You know, I just think that stuff is great. And the Coke Machine Glow and blah. I just really a big fan now. So
So take me through the journey of going through the records. What was your pathway? Did you start at the start, or did you cherry pick a couple records off the top that, you know, you were hearing more about, or what did that look like?
You know, I love live music, and I think the first one I listened to was Road Apples, because I liked the title, and I realized, and then I, you know, listened to the live music, and of course, with the access we get now, I figured that this band I will hear them through the years in their live music that's accessible, and I play them nonstop in the car, great shows that. And then I went back and went through the records, you know, Day for Night, In Violet Light, In Between Evolution. And one of my favorites that I think is underappreciated is Man Machine Poem.
Agreed.
That had an unfortunate release date. But, you know, I another one that I walked, had it on and walked by, and I went, the song Machine would have been just a killer song in concert. Yeah. The last song in the record, it just broke my heart. It just was really cool, you know? So I think, and now for Plan A is another one I listened to, and
look at this.
I think it's great.
I was listening to it this morning, rather. Yeah. I just held up my copy of Now for Plan A for those who are not on the live pay-per-view feed.
I think that's a terrific record and a terrific cover.
Yeah.
You
know, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then, but the subject matter is not fun. You know, the subject matter of that record is so deeply personal and tragic almost, right?
Yes. The lyrics got more personal, I think, as time went on, because you have to, you know, I think if you're a lyricist like Gord was. So, but I feel like I'm just as much a fan of somebody, you know, Jack the Lad and, Kingston, who discovered them in high school. I really do. And I sometimes I don't want to say that because I'm afraid I'll be attacked as, you know, not Canadian enough. But
oh, goodness. No, I would hope that, I would hope that's not the case. But going back to your theory, there's something really to that we do cleave to this band so tightly that it can be difficult to access for other people that aren't as familiar with it. Even though we're all evangelists, we're protective at the same time.
JD, I never heard them. You know, I mean, you just never heard them. So how can you access them if they were sort of hidden, you know, to their frustration and to people who've lost out and not hearing them? And I mean, as much as Joni Mitchell's from Canada, I never listened to her to learn about Canada.
Right.
But she did sing about Canada and Saskatoon, whatever. She, you know, and they all sing about their country. And the Sex Pistols sang about England, but that didn't make me think of them as English. You know,
right.
Just fun, that group. But And so the HIP, I learned a lot about history, Canadian history, because they were smart. He was smart, and he taught people history, not only Canadian, but, you know, I learned through him, but as I do many artists that through the years. So I don't think of them as Canadian, except for all the, you know, emotion of the last tour. I just listen to them as a rock and roll band.
Well, that's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it always frustrated me to go to shows. I only went to one in the U.S., but it was in, and it was in Buffalo, so it was a stadium show.
That's
so it
kind wasn't, of border town.
Yeah. Yeah, so it wasn't like a stadium show, but the stories that I hear about club shows with the HIP, usually they were like full of expats, you know, showing off their Canadianness, and it was like, that's not, I saw them live on Canada Day one year, and Gord was in a really pissy mood that day.
Oh, wow.
And he came out at the beginning because people were throwing bottles at Daniel Lanois.
Oh, my gosh.
As he was performing, like Daniel fucking Lanois.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
So Gord came out and was basically just venom spitting. And at one point, you know, somebody, I don't know whether somebody started to sing O Canada or something like that, but he was like, it's not Canada Day, it's Friday.
You know, I can see his frustration, you know, and poor Jane Sibbery on a lot of the tours, why they had her opening on some of their tours, like Daniel Lanois, sort of hard for the fans to overcome. And it's he must have been frustrated because they're not nationalistic, I don't think. They were just writers. They were just musicians and wonderful songwriters as a unit. And I think towards the end, you know, they got the other band members got a little overshadowed. But I think
you're right.
I just, you know, I think as a unit, I wish more bands were that cohesive and had as wonderful a history as they did, you know.
35 years with the same lineup, same five guys. That's rare. We were discussing this with Alan Cross and you know, he listed a litany of bands that he felt, you know, lived up to that. And it was like, we thought about it afterwards and we were like, no. Like, you know, this band's a four piece, this band's a three, like Rush is a three piece band.
Rush has been,
you know, and they had a different drummer for one at one point and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, fascinating. Where do you go right now for your fix other than live music? Which record do you throw on when you are feeling it? Or are you still as early in the process that you're, you know, listening to these records for the, you know, for the second or third time? Or are you like deeply into them at this point?
I love all of them after, you know, I thought in the beginning they were little Rolling Stones-ish open G tuning. And as Saskadelphia, I don't, that wasn't my thing at all. But after Fully Completely,
yeah,
any one of them I could put on and up through the end, except for the Mick Rock, was it Mick Rock, the producer?
Bob Rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now I understand what happened, but something happened. Those two records I didn't care for. But other than that, I'll put on a Man Machine Poem all day. I don't get sick of their music. I don't get tired of it.
This is so cool, Tracy from LA. This is so cool. You have no idea. I've talked to a lot of HIP fans at this point, and it's so nice to welcome a new one to the club. You know, you're not, even though it's not new, it's like, you know, it's been since 20, I guess if you saw
2016
or 2017,
he was like
probably
November,
right?
November, December.
That would make sense if it was 2017 because he passed.
I mean, 2017.
Yeah. So you saw Broken Social Scene.
November, December 2017. You know, I did some, just after lockdown, I worked for a friend part time at a vintage guitar store here in Silver Lake, California.
Oh, I used to live in Silver Lake. I used to live on Teviot Street.
Which one? I don't know that road.
Teviot. It's up the hill.
You're in the hills.
Yeah, yeah.
This was down by Hoover, by the freeway, and it's still there. And a lot of musicians get their guitar set up there. And I was playing. I listened to your podcast, and I was listening to the one about evolution. And right. I said, actually, we give that album another listen. And I put on. I was sort of in charge of music when I was there. And I put on the record in background, and the fellow came to pick up his guitar. And he's looking around, and he's saying, "Who's Canadian here?" And I was like, "Oh, wow!" That thrilled me. And I said, "So somebody knew who they were, but he was from Canada." So anybody who came in from Canada, the only thing I turned to them and say, "Tragically Hip," and their faces would light up, and
that's
they'd have a story.
So great.
They'd have a story, you know. One guy cried, you know, because he felt such a loss.
Yeah.
About Gordon. He met Gord on a golf course, I think, once, and he told me the story, and the owner of the shop came in and rolled his eyes like, "Oh no, you're not another one. You didn't entrap another fan." But nobody from the U.S. I was at running the other day, and I was at a light, Griffith Park Boulevard, and I heard New Orleans Is Sinking. I heard it from a stereo, and I looked over, and there was a young gal in a station wagon of some sort, and she was blasting the music, and she was like, you know, wow. And I ran over to the car, and I went, "Yes," and she went, "Yes," and I mean, it was so unusual.
Okay, that is the best story ever that you went up to her.
I was thrilled. I told friends that, and they were like, "So?" So I was like, you know, and I probably had my listening to them on my AirPods. So I was like, "Well, where's that coming from?"
Oh, that's so tremendous.
You know, I didn't ask if she was Canadian. I didn't talk to her, but we just went like, "Yeah," through the window. So, you know.
So what advice would you have for somebody getting into the band?
I thought about that before, and I thought maybe your favorites, just to get a overview, because there's so much.
Yeah,
I didn't do that, but you know, and it didn't have membership on it, which is one of my favorites. But I would point them to that, you know, and then Day for Night and Violet Light, Fully Completely. Yeah. You know, it's like which great record do you want to recommend? But I haven't turned anybody on to them. Nobody will. Nobody is interested.
Really?
Or I get, they're like REM.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, I think that's the only comparison you can make, really, in terms of an American band, you know?
I had seen REM since the beginning. I've seen them many times, and I just never went there. It's so different. So that's usually the reaction I get, unless they're coming into the guitar shop and they're Canadian, then you get a reaction, you get a history. These people.
You get a little anecdote every time.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. So what do you say we get down to business and talk about the album of the week, Tracy from LA?
Sure.
All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Paul Langlois from the Tragically Hip saying hello. Now on with the countdown.
31.
Thanks.
Today we are looking between the bars at the third track off the 2004 long play In Between Evolution. Gus, the polar bear from Central Park. Tracy, what are your initial thoughts about Gus the first time you heard this song? What were your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts were how ingenious it was for with the lyrics anthropomorphizing this bear and saying and wondering, you know, no one's afraid of you anymore? Is that what it is? No one's afraid of you, or they want to be... No one is afraid. And it really haunted me, those lyrics. Because as a writer, I would have written, poor Gus is in a cage and he's depressed because he's trapped and he wants to go home to the bears. But it wasn't like that at all. It was from the inside out, as if just isolated and lonely. But you didn't say that. It was just, no one's scared of you anymore, you know? And it just resonated. And it's a cool song. It's a cool song musically. It's just a wonderful rock song, I think.
Talk to me more about that.
It's got a rhythm to it, and it sounds like a bear in a way. You know,
oh,
it's
wild.
Like, dun, 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 you know, it sounds like a. It sounds. I don't think there's a word for that in music, but it just, you know, the grating guitar and the pulsing bass, and it's just very. It's sort of a sad song to me, in a sense, you know, but well done. I just, you know, the whole record is something that came later, I think, for me, and it's just so wonderful. It's such a rock and roll record. I love it.
It really is very rocky, right?
Yeah, and it's recorded very raw, and it's kind of, Gord sounds a little different.
Yeah.
It sounds like more of a group project. Like they turned on the mics and just went for it. That's what I sense from it. But you know.
Yeah, I would love to. Like, have you watched the Amazon docuseries?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I would guess so. Yeah, but I just want to check. That was my one. I don't want to use the word beef, but they really, you know, covered some albums really fully and completely, and then some other albums were just sort of like two sentences, you know, and it was like. I wanted to know more about In Between Evolution.
Especially the last two records. And then they did this and then, you know. So yes, as someone who wants to know more, you're better off listening to a podcast with Mike separately, you know, that to learn more about the band rather than just skimming the surface. Because they had a lot of time to tell those stories, but maybe they wouldn't have been able to sell that to America if it was just about recording a record that no one's heard of. Maybe. I don't know.
Right. But
I thought that was a terrific record, and I'd love to find out the what went into these records, what it was like.
Yeah.
And you did with the Bob Rock incident, which cleared up so much for me, and I wish there was more of that. Nuts and bolts and raw edges of a band together for that long. But, you know, what a story that was. That was great.
Yes. Yeah. Wonderful. So wonderful. So yeah, I believe they recorded this one in Seattle with like a producer that, you know, had alternative cred.
And it sounds like that. Yeah.
It does sound like that, right? It doesn't have that early 90s production, like that muddy sort of, you know, muddy production that alternative sometimes had, but it's got that polished version of it.
Raw,
you know?
Energy.
But it's raw. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know how to describe it. Almost like different day for night.
Gord was kind of just, you know, yelling in a way that was wonderful into the, you know, it just felt very live to me and different. So I really enjoyed that. And Gus was a standout.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And of course, Vaccination Scar and blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Well, Vaccination Scar, great single. I'm just going to look up really quickly. I don't normally look things up in the middle of this, but I want to look up really quickly. In Between Evolution, this is riveting podcasting, I know, and somebody
is it
looking something
I have it
up.
Written down somewhere.
I just want to see what the signals. It was. Yeah, I thought it was a single. It was the third single off the record. This, I mean, isn't that bananas? That Gus was a single?
It's not a single. I don't think it's a single record.
It's an album track.
Yeah, but so it's just hard, I guess, to figure this out for for America or a single. But it's not a single album. It's just an album, you know.
Yeah,
I think so. And then the second one was, yeah, we won't go into that. But yes, so that is an odd single. How do you explain that?
I don't know.
Gus.
I don't know. Yeah. Like even the title alone, right? Like is a mouthful.
But he went for it.
But he went for it. They always take risks. I like that. That's the one thing you can tell. The records are a departure almost every time.
And I'm sure it was a fight between five guys with a lot of personality and creative energy and working together year after year and putting out very different, records.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to hear more about that.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, me too.
Have you picked up a copy of the book?
Not yet, no.
No.
I would love to get one of the limited ones, but I'll probably find it on eBay in 10 years for it. But I have gotten a copy of the book, and I'd love to see it.
I got the bookstore edition. The limited edition was just too rich for my blood. I was like, oh, this kills me. Especially when they've got a box set coming out this year,
What is that? I'm not sure. Which box set?
They're re-releasing Up to Here. They're reissuing Up to Here. So it'll be remastered and it'll be on vinyl. Comes with a live record and a record of rarities and outtakes as well.
I hope they do that for the later records eventually.
They've done it for Phantom Power.
Right. I mean, like,
yeah,
Plan A. And,
oh, I hope so too. But I don't have faith in it. But I hope so. I feel like there's a hippasance happening right now, though, like in general. I don't normally talk business on this, but like podcast numbers are up. Like my Tragically Hip podcast numbers are up. And the only thing to explain that is the docuseries. And with the docuseries comes buzz and
curiosity.
And curiosity, and maybe. Maybe it'll have a second appeal.
I think, people are seeing down here, Gord and what was so charismatic about him. And the band, they just never experienced it. So I hope that like the girl in the car at the stoplight are experiencing it for the first time like I did,
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's great. Well, Tracy from LA, it's been wonderful talking to you today.
Thank you for having me.
I really hope your journey through Hipdom continues and continues to make your life richer. This is really a wonderful story to hear, and I'm thrilled that I had the opportunity. So thank you.
Well, so am I. Thank you for all you've done. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that's what I've got for you this Monday on the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. Thank you so much for downloading. Please share and subscribe the podcast. Thanks for stopping by. Pick up your shit.
Thanks for listening to the Tragically Hip Top 40 Countdown. To email us, send an email to tthtop40@gmail.com. We're social. Find us on all the socials at tthtop40.
Duvra podcasts and such.